Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
Y'all are going to have to bear with us for like the first hour of the show because our mouths are in different time zones and brains are in different time zones. It's going to take an hour to adjust.
I never left this time zone, so I'm good.
You went back in time, though, to Kentucky.
Well, yes.
How was your vacation?
Vacation was great. It was all focused around family and friends. So, yeah, we went back to Kentucky for a few days to see Granny and Grandma and Papa and Papa Bill and all the cousins. And Jimmy had a fabulous time. And then got to see some friends who came here. And so it's like some chosen family. So Jimmy got to see some aunties and some more cousins. And that's just what the whole vacation was all about.
I was taking a look at some of your pictures while we were on vacation. You need to start a business where you rent that kid out for pictures.
He's pretty stinking cute, man.
He's really freaking cute.
Yeah.
There's a business opportunity here.
You think
like,
so?
I mean, it can be supervised, but somebody that wants to take family photos
yes.
and needs, you know, an extra kid in there
uh-huh.
for the overall aesthetic.
Yes.
I think you can get a ton of cash for him.
You know what? I might look into that. Maybe throw up a Craigslist ad or two.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wasted money right now.
Doesn't sound dangerous at all.
You'll be there. You'll be there.
Okay.
And Mo hit us like 2 days before he leaves for vacation as we're going around the room off air. And we're like, so where are you on vacation? And Abby's like, I'm going to Florida. Chris is like, I'm going to Kentucky. I'm like, I'm going on a bonding trip with my kid. Mo, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to Mykonos.
What? What?
Yeah, Abby, I think, what am I now known as? The gatekeeper of the vacations,
yes,
I believe, is what you called me.
Well, first of all, not only did you gatekeep Greece, then all of a sudden I'm looking at Mo's Instagram story and he's in Amsterdam, and then he's in London.
Well, yes, I guess I make it look good, but the truth is, it's always because I book my flights so late. I'm always, like, last minute that I can't typically get like the direct direct route to where I want to
right.
go. So I have to go here and I have to go here and I have to go there. So I at least try to make places, my stops, places I've never been before. So I can see some things, stay for the day, and then eventually I make my way to Greece. But Instagram, you could just make that look better than it really is in real life.
Do you get tremendous layovers and you just leave the airport to see these cities, or are you spending the night there?
So I used to, like when I would connect, I would try to get the quickest plane I could to get to my next destination. But since I had time, I was like, why not? Just take 24 hours since I have to be in Amsterdam anyway. I spent the day there. And since I had to be in London anyway, I stayed the day there. So I would just leave the airport, try to see as many things as I can while I'm there, and then I take off to my next destination, which ultimately was Greece.
And if you go to Amsterdam and you spend enough time there properly, your 24 hours will feel like 4 days.
It absolutely did. Amsterdam was great. I was supposed to be in Amsterdam for like 4 hours, and I enjoyed it so much, I pushed my flight back. I was like, I'm going to stay a little longer. Actually, I'm going to spend the night here. I'll leave in the morning.
You were something else.
Go with the wind, man. That's just what I do.
Enjoy that window, dude.
It was incredible, though.
Abby, how was Florida?
Florida was great. It was a million degrees in Palm Beach, which everybody told me that it was like the off season. And I was like, July in Florida? How is that the off season? Because I'm from Florida, so I know what it's like. It was like the face of the sun in Palm Beach, but it was beautiful and it was great, and me and my family had a great time.
So I'll get into it more later, but I sort of had this bonding trip with my kid to Japan. This was his high school graduation gift 2 years ago, but Japan has been closed because of COVID, and now that it's open, we finally got to take our trip, and man, I tell you what, this country, Japan, it pierced my soul. It was really amazing. Just the sense of community in that country, walking the streets, you don't have to worry about crime. I'll detail it more later on, but you got 5, 6, 7-year-old kids that are walking these busy streets, taking buses, and they're on the subway by themselves with no parental discretion whatsoever, or hanging out with the kid. It was just a real sense of community.
Like, your pictures and your documentation was fabulous, but I have to say the highlight is the bonding that you and Hayden did.
Yeah, and again, I'll get into it later because we just don't have time here, but my kid and I are very, very different. In fact, Hayden, we talked about this on the trip, actually. I think sometimes feels out of place in our family. We've got, he's got two parents that love to be outside. We love to be in nature. We love to be exercising and doing things. He's got Grant. Everybody on the family tree is like that. And yet Hayden is the only one that really isn't. So I think a lot of times he feels like he's on the outside looking in. But the truth is, he's got a whole bunch of relatives on my side. My mom's side of the family is 100% Hayden. They're all into the same things. They have sort of the same social obstacles that he has. They speak like him. They like his music. But because of all of the cutoffs in my life, he hasn't had a lot of opportunity to connect with that side of the family. Mm-hmm. So when I got back, I started thinking, you know what? I got to get back in touch with my brother Eric and get Hayden and me back involved on that side of the family. So because I think you can learn a lot from your family line. Like, sometimes you can feel like you're on the outside, and then when you're hanging out with family members, the DNA makes sense.
Yes, completely.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I love that you came to that realization. That sounds like an incredible trip.
There was a million of those on this trip, and it was, like I said, a soul-piercing trip, and it's changed my life a little bit.
Nice.
It was really, really awesome. It was awesome. Well, I'm glad to be back, though. It felt like a long trip, and I don't know if it was because it's so many miles away. It was like 13-hour flight there, 12 hours on the way back. But I feel like we've been gone from each other for a month and a half.
It's because you were in Tokyo.
Yeah. Mine went by quick.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
All right, email time. She's hurt because her boyfriend accepted a new job that will cause them to spend less time together. Did he do this on purpose? She's already thinking that. Mo's got the email.
I'm in a bit of a confusing situation and need some advice. My boyfriend started a new job recently, and we don't get to spend as much time together as we used to. I'm feeling a bit lost and can't help but wonder if this was his plan all along. We've been together for 3 years now. Despite both of us working, we always made sure to spend quality time together. We had our usual stuff like going out for breakfast on weekends, hitting the gym together, or just hanging out and watching TV at home. Things seemed to be going well, and we had found a good balance between our personal lives and our relationship. But things changed a bit when my boyfriend took a new job. The strange thing is that it's not a better job than his last one. He's actually earning less money, and the job title isn't anything impressive. He says that even though it might look like a step back now, this job will open up better opportunities for him in the future. But ever since he made this change, we've been spending a lot less time together. Our usual routines have been thrown off, and I feel like we are drifting apart. At first, I didn't think much of it, and I thought it was just a temporary adjustment phase. But now I'm starting to wonder if he knew that this job would mean less time for us. And maybe he saw that as a good thing. Maybe that was the entire reason for taking the job. That might seem crazy, but he hasn't seemed the least bit bothered by the fact that we spend significantly less time together. I want to talk to him about it, but I don't want to sound crazy or accusatory. So I'd like to get an outside perspective. I'd love your thoughts.
All right, Abby, if this is you, this is your best friend. You love to say, hey, I'm the tough love girl of my group. So what's the tough love you're giving here?
So here's the thing. It sounds like her intrusive thoughts have won in this situation. Like, she has gone from one point and completely jumped to a different bridge of like, well, he took this new job. That means he doesn't want to spend time with me. That girl, you got to calm down. It sounds like he was really being proactive and wanting to pick a career that was going to be better for y'all's future. But like, when it comes to starting a new job, and I can speak from this as someone who just started this job 3 months ago, it's hard. Like, your routine gets thrown off and you don't know where those pockets of time are to spend with like the people that are important to you. So like, girl, you gotta dial it back and just talk to him about it. Tell him you miss him.
That would be a bold move to take a new job just because you wanted less time with your significant other.
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
Well, yeah, just that's a thought in her mind. She got some work to do on herself here,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. He could have just broken up with you and he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was literally going to say the same exact thing. It seems somebody taking a whole new job just to get away from their significant other sounds very, very far-fetched. I think him saying to her that I know it seems odd now, but it's going to help me in the future is probably his genuine reason for taking a job. And I think she might be making it about her. And if she feels like it's affecting the relationship, just talk to the man. I don't think she should be making it about her like she is in this.
Do you think we get caught up in the Hollywood version of romance where love has to be this passionate thing that it's us in the middle and everything else is just kind of almost like extracurricular rather than the reality of like, we should be part of each other's lives and very important part, but not the only thing.
Not the all-consuming.
Right.
And they've been together for 3 years now. So hopefully she was somewhat involved in this process of him taking a new job, because that's after 3 years together. That's kind of a big deal. So you would hope that you would include your significant other in this decision. So I feel like you feel like you're drifting apart. All right. Well, if you feel like you're drifting apart, then that just means you got to put in a little extra effort to make sure that you're finding time to spend together. Mm-hmm. Now, if you start putting in effort to find those pockets of time that you are missing and he doesn't, that's a separate conversation for a different time.
Yeah, that's been a struggle for me in my past relationships. I think everybody views it a little different. And I've always been the kind of person that wants my space, wants my time apart, and I appreciate it. And for her, it was more like, what do you mean? Like, there's other things in life than me, than us?
Right. Yeah.
And it was a bit of a struggle. So it is kind of, I guess you see it through your own lens, but I really just think the dude is trying to better his future. I don't think this has anything to do with her.
Now, I don't blame her for feeling the way she does. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get used to a certain dynamic and all of a sudden that you love him and you want to spend time with him. I mean, you shouldn't have to feel bad about that. But at the same time, you can feel those feelings. Don't make him feel bad about it because he's trying to pursue another opportunity that can be better for you guys in the long run.
Exactly. And I know for me and my friends, like if there's any kind of shift, like in a guy's demeanor or if the vibes just feel a little off, we immediately think it's us. Like, I don't know if it's just narcissism or if it's just insecurities coming out, but like, girl, all it's going to take is one conversation and hopefully things will be able to mend themselves.
No, I think your instincts are good. Most of the time it is you guys.
I'm the problem.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Kiki Palmer is clapping back at her boyfriend for outfit shaming her. So if you haven't seen this go down on social media yet, Kiki was at an Usher concert and she looked amazing. She had this black bodysuit on, which for the elders out there, it's like a one-piece bathing suit. And of course, it like showed off her assets. You know, you could see the badonkadonk.
So it was a thong bodysuit.
Yes.
And then there was like a sheer cover up over top said bodysuit.
Mm-hmm.
But she looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. She looks pretty hot.
She did look pretty good.
Looking pretty hot.
Her boyfriend didn't think so. So her boyfriend decided, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to outfit shame my girlfriend, the mother of my child, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he got on the social media platform and said, "It's the outfit though. You a mom." And then he doubled down and said that it went against the standards and morals he believes in.
Right? They're done?
Well, I don't think it's official whether or not they've broken up, but like if I'm her, I'm cutting them off.
They unfollowed each other on social media. But again, they just had a child together. I mean, she gave birth not that long ago because she just made the announcement on SNL that she was pregnant, mm-hmm. I feel like yesterday. When I tell you, my jaw dropped when I read this. I was like, in what world does your man or your woman out you like that on social media, especially when you're a celebrity couple? Like, what was he thinking? And how did he think that was gonna play?
Well, here's the thing. If you have a problem with it, text her. Text her.
It's not like you don't have her number.
I think he learned a valuable lesson about keeping your relationship in home once Black Twitter got a hold of him, because they let him have it for 24 full hours.
Is that right?
Oh, it was bad.
Was it bad?
Oh. They was lighting him up.
I think he really thought he was in the right here. But when I say after he posted that, he got railed. And I mean, so many people were making Keke Palmer their profile pictures in solidarity. It was amazing how people came to her defense.
Well, how was he defending himself on Twitter, or did he just take the punches?
At first, he deactivated his Twitter account. That happened for a few hours. Then he tried to come back like, oh, it didn't faze me. And he basically said that he didn't care about what anybody else thought. It's his relationship. And I think after that, he just shut up like he should have in the first place.
Dang. In what world does he think that's a decent idea, man?
I don't know.
Saying. No idea. Well, I'm like, you an idiot.
Kiki's about to make a pretty fat check off of this. So now she's actually got shirts that say her clapback from Twitter. So she got on social media and she said, one thing is certain and one thing is true. I'm a mother through and through. And so now she has these T-shirts that say, I'm a mother, that you can buy.
So I'm really curious what that even, breaking it down to his level, what does he even mean? So you're a mom, so you're not allowed to feel sexy?
Correct.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
You can't look sexy. Correct. You should cover up now that you're a mom.
Correct.
Your kids are going to see these pictures. Is that what he's thinking?
It's like the Madonna whore complex that some men have when their wife gives birth to their child. And they don't see her as like a sexual being anymore. They just see her as the mother of their child. So all of a sudden, she now has to dress like an Amish woman. And she's not allowed to show off any cleavage or any butt cheek or anything like that because... you're the mother of my child now. It's jacked up.
I feel like you should be allowed to show off your body more after you've had a child. Like the fact that you created a whole human and she still looks that good, absolutely wear the bodysuit and the mesh.
And this is his kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dude, you had it all.
Yeah.
You're an idiot about to lose everything.
Yes.
It opened up a really cool discussion. She asked all the moms on that same post. She said to all the moms out there, how did your baby change you? And she's like, mine empowered me. So when my baby's good, I feel good. So I'm going to show that off.
You guys, no, you weren't part of the show back then. When my ex-wife tried out for the Atlanta Falcons cheerleading team. Right now, she had already had a kid. I think it was just Hayden. And they asked, I don't know if, I can't remember the origin, if they asked her or she just wanted to do it. But I believe she was in like her 40s already and she had already had one of our kids and she was getting the same crap. People are like, hey, you're a mom now. You can't be a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. You can't be putting that outfit on now. You're a woman and you're a mother. Put it away. And that was 15 something years ago.
And look how far we've come.
Around the corner.
But at least it was so reassuring to see so many people put him in his place and so many people like defend her and support her. So I do feel in that essence, like I want to believe, is not a lone idiot. He's got a couple of partners in crime out there. But for the most part, people are like, this is archaic thinking. Like, get over yourself.
I wonder what that meeting was like when they first saw each other for the first time. She probably didn't even have to say anything. So how you feeling?
You know, the only dude that was on his side was that Andrew Tate dude. He DM'ing up going, hey, nice job, bro.
I think he's in jail.
I think he's out.
Elton John played his last show of his last tour ever. I'll play you that emotional audio from that concert on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
You know, it's always a little surprising to me when you casually ask somebody, how you doing? And they tell you how they're doing and they're not doing well.
When they're actually honest
right.
about their current state.
You almost check out before they answer because you know the answer is going to be, I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah.
Not Romeo. He walked in the studio to tell one story and he sat down. I'm just making conversation. Hey, dude, how was your week last week? Because we were all off. And he's like, I was depressed.
Good way to wake up.
I did nothing and I was depressed. What happened?
Yeah, man. You know, I need to really learn to stop doing that. Like people are just want to ask good morning, and walk away. And I'm over here trying to, I do this often where, I don't know, I wear my heart on the sleeve.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
Just, you know, just.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's just not what you expect. You just expect like, I'm doing great.
Yeah, no, I just, I've taken a little pivot. On my mental health, I like to say. Okay. So it hasn't been well lately. But
you were banging before we left for vacation.
You need us.
Oh, that's it. That's what it is.
He needs a coach. Oh, he's got a defendant.
Okay.
Yeah, you were doing, like Krista said, you were doing great. You were like on a high. What happened?
Yeah, no. I was. I mean, before vacation, I think I was heading towards that pivot, and I was very much trying to keep it positive. And, you know, kind of faking it till you make it type of situation, but it didn't work really well. The faking didn't get to
Wait. Which part was the fake part? Like when you were on the radio talking about how happy you were? Or suffer?
Part of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, part of it. I think I was, there's a lot of stuff happening, I think, personally in my life that I just don't know how to handle it. Yeah. That's really it. It's not that I don't know how to handle it. It's more of I don't want to accept it.
Mm.
That's really it. Like, I mean, if I'm being honest with myself, it's really, oh, God, it's so sad in here. So it's just kind of, I've kind of been dealing with that and just trying to pick myself up. Hmm. That's really what I've been trying to work on because I feel like I've definitely taken a pivot and it was doing so great. And then the roller coaster was going up. And
but
then,
that's a fair reminder to remember you never know what's going on behind closed doors.
Yes.
And to be kind to every person you meet because you don't know what struggles they're dealing with.
And I also think you need to remember that when you are like on a, like this path of growth, that it's never always straight up.
Yeah.
You know, you always like end up coming down a little bit and then you end up a little bit better than you were before.
Right.
And then you come down a little bit, so maybe you're just being really, really hard on yourself that it wasn't as fast or you haven't reached some mythical finish line.
100. And I think this time around, like this pivot that I've taken, it feels different just because this time around, I feel like there's hope that it's going to be over. And I think a lot of times whenever I'm falling into a sort of like sadness or what I call depression in my life, it's always been like I lose the hope and it almost feels like I'm just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And this time around, it's like, I feel this right now and it's going to happen and it's going to feel like this for maybe a little bit, but it's going to pass and I just got to keep looking forward. And so I'm just like, that's why it's like, I don't mind sharing that I was kind of bummed out over the week. Because it's just like...
progress.
Yeah, it's just going to happen.
So. Knowing that, like the old cliche, this too is going to pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas before, you just felt like you were drowning and it was never going to stop.
Exactly.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, on to other things.
Yeah.
What's going on with the cousin that rejected you from her friend? She's another, the gatekeeper.
Another sadness in my life. My love life. Oh, no. So here's the thing. I went into Tommy's studio earlier before this because I was trying to figure out. I felt like I gave you guys an update on this situation. But no, it turns out that it was just a similar situation that I went through with Katie's friend. And basically, this happened months ago. I think like earlier in the year where I hung out with my cousin and she invited her friend. And it was just like this girl walked in. It was during the World Cup time, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to go watch a soccer game and this girl walked in and I'm like, oh my goodness, she's beautiful. It happens all the time. You know what? I love women. I just fall in love with women. People, I've seen your comments. I get it. I fall in love quick. All right. It's cool. Let me love. And so she walked in and I thought I played really cool. I felt so confident about myself because I was like, hell yeah, I play that so smooth. I know, like, I planted the seed of like, oh, Romeo's this great guy, you know? So I was just like, all right, let me ask my cousin to see if she can hook us up. And my cousin, like, immediately was just like, no. And I was just like, okay. And I told you guys, I was like, that was a very quick no. Like, the way she got to that no was too quick.
She, like, you didn't hesitate.
Like,
she was asked. She was waiting for you to ask just so she could say no.
Like, you didn't even 2 seconds, like, think about it. And so she was no, and I was just like, okay, like, I want to, why? And so I just didn't have the courage, I guess, to ask. And then one day I was just like, hey, let me just, 2 drinks in, I'm going to ask.
Ask the cousin.
Ask my cousin. Okay. I was like, all right, hey, listen, what is the reason you didn't want to hook me up? Is it me? You can tell me straight up. Tell me. It's fine. It's cool. Mm-hmm. And she said that it was basically her friend. That it was her friend that she was protecting me from her friend.
Because I remember us talking about this because you obviously took it personally.
Yeah.
That your cousin didn't think you were good enough for her friend. But in actuality, she thought the friend would hurt you.
Yes.
Got it.
So it was not a me problem. Mm-hmm. It was a friend problem.
Got it.
So... Yeah, that's really the bottom of it all.
So did you circle back with her, or that's the answer that she finally gave you like last week?
That's the answer that she gave me, which was basically that her friend is a little friendly with other people. And
she's a friend.
She's a little liberal with her sexuality.
Okay. Okay. She's a little friendly with other. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's, she was protecting me from that.
Okay, so it ended up all right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You might have like totally escaped.
I think so.
You dodged a bullet, man.
I think so.
Okay.
It's just the hot. I don't know.
We'll go through crazy to get to hot.
You better believe it.
Let your cousin know that.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It doesn't sit right with my soul. That's kind of been a fun theme we've been playing with on the Burt Show lately, where you're getting something off your chest that's just not sitting right with you. Like when I threw a sick burn at Abby and then immediately felt bad, and she did the same thing to Kristen and also felt bad right away. Now, we're all good and that was all in good fun, but sometimes you're not quite ready to confront your problems head on and you need someone to talk to. And while we love talking to you guys about your drama, sometimes it's above our pay grade and you need a professional to give you advice. I've been to therapy, and there's something so freeing about unloading your problems on a therapist that has your back and you know is there to help you. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
All right, so she was all excited about one of her friends that got a new dog for the family, and then realized like maybe this dog was lost and she's just been claiming it as her own.
Yeah, anyone who's lost a pet or just has the irrational fear like me that your pet's going to get lost, you are going to feel this. So her friend says that she rescued a dog and everyone in her life was so excited about it. They even wanted to throw the dog like a little doggy baby shower, which I thought was the cutest idea ever. And then the friend found out that she didn't rescue the dog from like a shelter. She found it on like the side of the road. And so her friend's like, wait a second, you found this dog. It knows all these commands. It's very well behaved. This is probably some family's dog. So you've got to do your research, go to the shelter, put up some ads, figure out if some family is out looking for this dog.
And we have an update. She says, after two sleepless nights, I knew I had to do something. Sure enough, after searching Facebook for maybe 20 minutes, I found a post about the missing dog my friend had claimed as her own. No kids involved, like I had assumed. It was actually an elderly woman who was distraught and frantically searching for her dog. I forwarded the post to my friend with the message. It was weighing on my heart, so I did a search and found this. I think you did a beautiful thing by opening up your home and heart to this dog, but now it's time for you to do another beautiful thing and return her. Needless to say, the message wasn't received well. She couldn't believe I went behind her back and found the dog's real owner. She accused me of laying a guilt trip on her and that I should have minded my own business. I haven't heard from my friend since. But I had faith. Every day, multiple times a day, if I'm being honest, I checked the little old lady's Facebook page, hoping my friend would do the right thing. And she did. A few days later, there was a tearful post with a picture of her reunited with her beloved Sammy. My friend did the right thing, like I knew she would. However, I don't know if our friendship has suffered irreparable damage. I have no regrets, though. I'm hoping time will help my friend realize I did the right thing, and so did she, by returning the lost pup.
I think that's all you can do, right? Is try to do the right thing, and the way they react, you don't have any control over all that.
Yeah, your friend sounds crazy. Like, you took somebody else's dog, and she's like, hey, maybe you should return it to the rightful owner, and you're going to be mad at the friend. That, to me, is so ridiculous. And so, like, if somebody took my cat and then refused to give her back, she sounds wild.
But you notice how when people do something wrong and they know it's wrong, they deflect so hard to try to prove that they're not the bad one, to turn it around on you. It's like, it's a whole like manipulation tactic. And then after you sit in it, you're like, yeah, no, I was the one that was in the wrong. Yeah.
And you knew it all along.
And you totally knew
your
it all along.
Your gut was telling you.
And it's like, your reaction to it, because you're sheepish and you're like, you're embarrassed and you're shameful. So those feelings turn you into like this person that's going to make other people feel bad for your decisions, when you knew all along what you were doing was not the right thing.
Yeah, it feels like misguided anger. I think she's more upset that she actually found the family. So now she didn't have a reason or a way that she can keep it without actually feeling bad about it. And so you're mad at your friend when, like you said, Kristen, she's really mad at herself. So I think she did the right thing. I wouldn't think twice about this at all. And if they are real friends, they'll find themselves back together.
Agree. Look, we got about 90 seconds here before we got to take off. So let me ask you guys, is everybody here now on Threads?
Yes.
Cass, will you grab a mic here? Yeah. So, like, this is the last thing I wanted, is another social media platform to have to, like, share stuff on. So something's got to go. Something's got to go. So right now I'm wondering if it's going to be Twitter or if it's going to be Threads. But for those that don't even know what Threads is yet, Cass, you want to tell them?
Threads is, and Zuckerberg has said this, is Zuckerberg's response to Twitter. It's essentially Twitter again, and they've even allegedly poached dozens of Twitter employees, and Twitter is suing, like, to build Threads. So it's the same kind of thing, except what I like about it is it's connected to your Instagram account. But what you need to know before you sign up on Threads, you cannot delete Threads without deleting your Instagram account.
Oh, damn. Okay.
You can deactivate it, which will hide your comments and your posts and retain your data, but you can't actually delete your Threads account with, because it is linked to Instagram. But this is good because it means a lot of people, when they signed up for Instagram, not everyone, but they use their real face, their name, they post photos, which means Threads is going to be a nicer, friendlier place. Not totally, but because people won't be able to be nasty and troll because it's linked to their real accounts.
Okay, because I have been wondering now, and I've only dabbled in it because we were away and I just didn't want to deal with it all, but I sampled in it and I was wondering what the difference is, because it looks so similar. It does seem, at least for the first 4 days, like a friendlier place, like people aren't beating each other up just yet. And now that makes sense because they are held accountable.
Yes, and you can, like, you can instead of doing like 280 characters in a tweet, you can do up to 500 characters. You can do 5 minutes of video if you want. So it's longer text, longer video. And the way they've got it set up, it's to manage conversations better. So right now, if you log on, your feed's kind of a mess, because you'll see people you're not following and it's not in chronological order. Those things are coming down the line. So right now you're supposed to see stuff from people who are kind of like you, and it's going to help people get discovered better as well.
Okay.
So Twitter kind of buries people, so this will help you find some new people like you.
Do you have to have an Instagram in order to have Threads, or can people sign up with Threads without an Insta?
You have to have your Instagram account.
See, that's what makes them held accountable, because you know who they are.
And this is part of the Fediverse, which is coming down the line. So in theory, you'll be able to use your Threads account to interact with non-Facebook Instagram entities like Mastodon or Blue Sky down the line as well.
So you could create a fake Insta and a fake Threads also, and then get back to the same Twitter crap.
Yeah, but that's a lot of steps to go through.
Right.
So that will work the troll.
the trolls are going to be trolling.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
This might be the first time in my life that I've ever really legitimately said to myself, I could see myself moving out of the United States of America someday.
Being an expat somewhere?
Being an expat somewhere. You know, I think when I come home from, like, Exuma or somewhere exotic, you have that feeling, you know, but you know it's going to go away in, like, 3 days. Like, oh, wouldn't it be great to live on the beach? You know, drink margaritas all day? No, really. I think I'd be bored out of my senses after about 3 days. But I just got back from Japan. with a trip with my son, who's 20 years old. And I'll get into more of the emotional and connecting stuff later on today. But I just, you know, I think in this country, you grow up from a very young age on adults, teachers, everybody telling you, America's the best, America's the best, America, 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 right? And you think we're the best all the across the board, right? And then you get a little older and you travel just a little bit, like I love to do, and you realize that while America might be the best, there are some countries that do some things better.
Yeah.
Right? That's right. So I'm really curious, you guys. I know as a guy that tours quite a bit, that you could fall in love with a country as a tourist, but when you move there, it might be a very different deal. I've heard that about Italy before, because I think a whole bunch of people come back from Italy. You've been drinking wine all day. You're on the Amalfi Coast. There are these beautiful views. And you're like, ah, that's it. I'm going to go live the dream. You come home. You pack it up. You move to Italy. And it's a very different experience when you're a local, from what I understand, in like Italy. So my question for some of you guys, if there's anybody listening, I'm curious, if you had that idea and you left the country to go visit and then you ended up living in another country, did it meet your expectations or did you end up back in the United States? Because you're like, that is nothing like that when I was traveling.
Well, it's so funny you're bringing this up because friend of the Burt Show, Rhett, who does our videography for us, he and his wife are moving to Greece for a year.
They are doing it.
They are doing it, yeah, because they started this project, Becoming Greece, and they're doing like this these videos about the Greek culture in the country, and they spent a couple months there, and he fell in love with it, the people, the culture, and the country, and they're going to live there for a year.
Yeah, 1-855-BURCHA.
I met a woman while I was in Greece who went out there, I want to say 10 years ago, and she went for medical school. She just, I guess it was easier for her to go and do medical school in Greece, and her plan was to come back here and finish, and she never came back.
Is that right?
Yeah, her husband ended up meeting her in Greece, and they've been living there for like 10 years, and she said she doesn't see herself moving anytime soon.
I was telling these guys, and maybe this is still happening in smaller towns around the country, but in the bigger cities like where we live, I don't feel it. There is like a sense of community in Japan, and you can feel it immediately. They are sort of taught from a very young age that the community, we, is way more important than me. And you can feel that in absolutely everything that they do. The way they treat foreigners, the way they treat themselves, the way they bow to each other out of respect. It was just really felt like so safe. And it felt like a community of people trying to get through the day together.
When you're on vacation, though, do you not feel like you're getting a polished version of the country? Because every country has its issues.
Sure.
And like with every positive, there's also a negative. Because no country is perfect, including our own.
Yeah, Cassie and I were talking about this morning, that if you look at the statistics on Japan, the suicide rates for men are very high. Alcoholism in Japan for men is very high also. It's also a community, from what I understand, my tour guide was telling me, because I asked her the question, I'm like, what is one thing about Japan that most Americans wouldn't know or others around the country? And she said, well, we're taught to be polite and accommodating so much that we don't really tell people exactly what we think. And it is not really acceptable to share your creativity and true thoughts.
Well, no wonder you connected to Japan. It taps into your people-pleasing roots.
But I'm walking the streets there, and as I was telling these guys, like 6, 7, 8-year-old kids are walking the streets by themselves with no adults, and there's no fear that they're going to be taken off the streets. There was only 4 gun violence deaths in Japan last year, 4 in a country of 120 million people. The court system is really, really tough on people. Like, basically, if you go to court in Japan, you are guilty. So everybody tries to stay out of trouble. And that feeling of community and the way that they guide each other and help each other is just something that I don't feel as much here. So that's why I was thinking, like, maybe someday, moving to a country like that really would feel great.
So as a tourist, you felt like the energy or the politeness and everything that they gave you was exactly how they would give to their own? Like, you felt...
I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could see it. I mean, the food was so different also. You know, I don't go on any vacation when it comes to food because food's just not really a thing for me. It just gets me from A to B. But every meal was amazing. I always have stomach problems in our country. And when I traveled to Japan, not one stomach problem. And I was trying all sorts of foods. And I got to wonder, is it the chemicals and the crap that we're allowing in our food and not there? And again, I love America, man. Don't get all 4th of July movie on me also. Like, love it or leave it, man. I do love this country. But there are some things in other countries that they do a little bit better. Their transportation is set up in a way that's pretty easy and it's always on time. So, yeah, I've had those thoughts, but I wonder if they're real. Like you said, it might be totally different when you live there. Good morning, Sebastian. You're on The Burt Show.
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
So I just wanted to comment on the discussion with moving to another country. I'm about to do that with my daughter for about a year. So really, to get the full experiences, you really have to have a passive income from here.
Mm-hmm.
When you move to another country, and you got to work and deal with the locals and the government and the rules and regulations, is definitely a lot, not like you go on the vacation.
Where are you going to be moving to?
I'm about to go to Italy, actually.
I know you?
No, he said I'm about to move to Italy.
Oh, Italy. I thought you said I know you. I'm not entirely here yet. Hey, that sounds fantastic, but you also know that when you're moving to Italy, like, it's not going to feel like it does when you're a tourist.
Well, I will have a passive income from here, so hopefully it's going to feel like a tourist, but I've traveled a little bit, so... you know, when you go on vacation, it's always a great time. You know, you want to try the best things. You want to enjoy the life over there. And you see it totally different. But once you deal with the local government and job and paying bills and have that income over there, it's not the same experience.
Sure.
So having a passive income or maybe working remotely for a company here where the exchange rate is much better over there, then it's totally worth it. I encourage everybody to do that.
Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Thank you, guys.
Take care now.
We have a podcast. You can still listen.
The Burt Show.
All right, so follow up here. He lied about why he broke up with her, and she wants to know if she should confront him. Is this a follow up or
no,
is this original?
It's new.
Okay. Who's got it?
Hey, Burt Show. I'm a loyal listener from Kansas City. I'm a nurse, and your podcast keeps me awake on my drive home. I have a feeling I know what you're going to say when I tell you I want to confront my ex. You're going to say, drop it and move on. I swear I'm not trying to be an ask-hole, but I really want to confront him about his lie. He flat out lied about why he broke up with me. I think the lie irks me so much because he's attempting to be pious and he's freaking not. We dated for almost a year. On Friday, he comes over to my house and he tells me he wants to break up so he can focus on his religion. He can't have any distractions, and though he cares for me deeply, he needs time to get closer to God. I mean, how can anyone argue with that?
I wouldn't. That is a fight you might win temporarily, but not the long run.
Yeah, go date Jesus, not me. Well, Saturday night, I'm hanging out with some girlfriends, drinking my sorrows away. And one friend says, I can't believe the reason he broke up with you. It seems so petty. Religion isn't really a petty reason to break up with someone. So I ask her to clarify. That's when the entire table got quiet. I said, he told me he wants to focus on his religion. Well, my friend's brother is good friends with my ex, and he told him something completely different. Are you ready for this? He told her brother that he broke up with me because I wiped back to front, and he found that disgusting.
Shut up.
WTF! Apparently, I didn't close the bathroom door all the way, and it creeped open. When he was walking by, he saw me wiped back to front, and... that women are supposed to wipe front to back.
Well, that is true, right?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
It is.
I don't know about disgusting, but you're opening yourself up to all sorts of infections. I'm concerned.
He was so turned off by that he broke up with me. I was floored and hella embarrassed that he's going around telling people about my bathroom behaviors. So that's why I want to confront him on his BS. S. One, to get him to shut his stupid mouth. And two, to call him out for using God to break up with me.
It's so bad.
I really need to put this guy in his place. Please help.
Okay, so he's lying to somebody here. We just don't know which.
I think we know.
Do we?
Can we assume? I know we're not supposed to assume, yes. But can we please assume?
I don't know, because religion sometimes is so taboo with other people that if you tell somebody that you're really getting into your religion, sometimes they judge you, and maybe to get around that, he thought it would just be better just to say, well, she's gross and she's bordering on an infection every single time she goes to the bathroom.
That's a very, very odd, specific lie. That is indeed a lie.
No, here's the thing. In my church, especially like with the youth group and stuff, and when guys are dating, they use God to manipulate you in two ways. They either say, God told me we're going to be married, and that's how they think they can trap you into a relationship, or they say, God told me to break up with you, because you're not going to argue with God.
Yeah,
I can definitely see somebody using God as a reason to break up, but I cannot see somebody using the old back to front wipe. Doesn't seem like something you would just make up out of thin air.
Show director Tommy.
I just want to hear the guy talking to his other friends like, hey guys, you'll never know how I got pig guy.
Stop.
Okay.
I want God back in the conversation.
Yeah.
We all need some God right about that.
I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, I think if I'm her, I'm just letting it go. Right?
What do you get out of really approaching him? I mean, you know that he lied. He obviously didn't want to tell you the truth because, I don't know, maybe he was embarrassed and say, I don't know. But
I mean, if you really like somebody and that's really a concern, don't you just say, hey, you know, this is really weird, but there's something I got to talk to you about.
Reverse your wife?
Yes, like, your mama didn't teach you something.
You got to take hold of this narrative fast, because if he's already telling your friends about this, he's going to tell other people. So you need to start the narrative. You're so glad you're broken up because he liked to watch you through the bathroom door while you used the bathroom. And you felt it was really weird that he was a peeping Tom.
And he demanded that you wipe one way, not the other.
I would say something to him. I would say something and be like, I don't know who you think you are going around talking about me, but you need to shut the hell up.
I've really done. Look, using God as an excuse to break up with somebody or stay with somebody, to me, I would get really, really nervous about that.
You're asking to be smited, is what you're saying.
Yes.
You're asking to get smited.
Do you think when God smites you, is it back to front or front to back?
It's definitely back to front.
I want no buzz in his conversation.
Me neither.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Elton John is retiring from touring after 50 years. I mean, what a legend. So he finally concluded his record-breaking farewell Yellow Brick Road tour on Saturday in Stockholm, Sweden. This was his 330th show of the tour. And, of course, it marked the end of 52 years of touring for him. Almost 4,600 shows in 80 countries since 1970. But of course, he wants to spend more time with his family now.
I have to check in on Tommy, who is a huge Elton John fan.
Yeah, I saw two of those shows, and they were excellent. It was back-to-back nights. I've seen him like 10 times.
Are you sad?
No, because he'll be...
Was it time for him to go for you, Tommy?
People say it's the last tour, and it may be the last tour, but that doesn't mean it's the last show.
So you think it'll be after like an individual show or something like that?
Yeah, he might do something in Vegas, or he could do a residency in Vegas. That's not a tour.
He feels like the exact perfect prototype for a residency in Vegas, where he could be up in his penthouse.
And he's done it twice. He did the Red Piano and I think the $1 Million Piano.
Now you're just showing off.
Yep. I feel like when it comes to the GOATs like Tom Brady or Elton John, like you're never really done. Like I feel like we're going to have to pry Elton off the piano
maybe
when the time comes.
I can see that.
Okay, we need to have a little talking to with some concert goers, because Harry Styles got hit in the eye with something else. People keep throwing things at these artists. It's ridiculous. So Harry Styles was performing in Vienna, Austria over the weekend, and someone decided they wanted to hit him in the eye. Well, I'm sure they didn't want to hit him in the eye, but they hit him in the eye. But he's such a pro. I mean, this guy gets hit with like water bottles to the groin. He was pegged back with a bouquet of flowers like a month ago. So he's used to getting a little roughed up on the stage.
This one looked like it immediately hurt bad.
Oh, for sure. I mean, getting hit in the eye is painful because how do you even see where you're going on stage?
You know what's
going
to happen here is just a few of you guys that are being total idiots that are throwing things up on stage like phones or whatever this was that hit him in the face, is at some point or another, they're going to put a net between the artist and the fans. You're going to have to.
I know, or at least like feet and feet of distance, which is so annoying because like I know when I saw Taylor, like the coolest part was that I was like, oh my God, I'm like so close to her. Like I can literally see the sweat on her forehead. And like 15 years from now, people are going to be like, why are we so far back?
Mm-hmm.
It's because these idiots keep chucking things at our favorites.
Did they catch the person that did it?
No, or not that they, if they have, they didn't make a big deal about it because there wasn't like a, we found him, now he's in jail.
So how are we going to curb this? Like, it's just, it's such common sense that you throw something at somebody on stage whose focus is not to catch whatever you're throwing. Their focus is to perform for the hundreds of thousands of people that are out there in front of them. So like, I feel like something drastic needs to be done for anybody who throws anything from here on out up on stage at an artist.
It just makes absolutely no sense, right? Because whoever this person was paid good money to see their favorite artist, and they must have been within throwing distance. So let's just say 60 feet. So they're spending a lot of money on those tickets, and you're going to be the one that throws it and hits them in the eye with an object?
Yeah, if I'm Harry Styles, I'm going up there with goggles. I'm going up there with a scuba mask.
You need a full football uniform at this point.
Okay, well, I've got some really good news about Jamie Foxx and Madonna. So both of them, I mean, had headline-making health complications. Jamie has been in the hospital, in rehab in Chicago. Madonna was recently in the hospital. But people have seen both of them out and about this weekend. Jamie Foxx was on a yacht in Chicago, looking great. TMZ got footage of him, and he was waving to people, cruising down the river, looking great. And somebody actually saw Madonna out and about in New York. Not as well as Jamie Foxx. Someone said that she looked happy, but it did look like she was taking her time walking around.
Felt very Jamie Foxx-like for so many people to be so worried about him, and the next time you see him, he's on a yacht. just living his best life.
Right.
He's like, y'all out here worried. I'm here on a yacht.
Yeah, I'm just fine.
He's got caviar. He's got his friends and family around. He's cruising.
And I don't think that I got all the details on the Madonna story. So they had to issue like Narcan for her, but it wasn't a drug overdose, right?
She was hospitalized for a while, and so they had to push back her tour. It was supposed to start this weekend. She was in there for a hot second. It was like, it was 2 weeks ago, right before we went on break, and she had gotten out of the hospital but was still being supervised by medical staff.
Damn.
So it was pretty scary. Pretty scary. Britney Spears says an NBA star security team hit her, but new video footage shows something else completely. I'll tell you why charges won't be filed on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
An old cliche, you only have one chance at a first impression. That's why they call it a first impression, right? So on dating apps, you better like make that first impression really, really solid if you want to date. And as Abby has told us here now time and time again on Hinge, the voice prompts that dudes are listening, are posting are just really, really bad.
Hinge truly is the eighth layer of hell. And any single girl or guy who's ever been on there for longer than 5 seconds will know it is the wild, wild west. People will do just about anything to show off their personalities and try and get your attention through these voice prompts. So essentially, you'll be scrolling through these different profiles. You'll see some pictures of some guys. You'll be like, this guy looks normal. And then you press play and you're like, ugh. So I've decided I'm going to go on a tour day, Burt Show affiliates, and change my location to different locations.
All right, so today we're going to be focusing on what city?
We're going to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Chattanooga. All right, so if you are listening on 103.7 Kiss FM in Chattanooga, you're about to get railed on.
No, just these particular dudes on Hinge who have really cringeworthy voice prompts.
We have had dozens of callers on this show over the years that have said that they finally bagged a date with the guy that was really, really great looking, and what he did wrong on that first date was talk. Some of you need to know that you're so good looking that this voice prompt thing is not necessary.
No, I mean, I love a good voice. Like, sometimes someone can have a sexy voice and it can totally turn you in the right direction, but it depends on what you're saying. And one thing that I learned about the guys from Chatty Chattanooga is that they love their food. They love
their food.
So I'm
not completely sure if everyone's seen the cubic rules of food. But it basically boils down to the one main point of contention that Pop-Tarts are, in fact, ravioli.
Yeah. So you get to learn all about the different types of food rules on Hinge.
We actually had this argument on the show.
It sounds familiar.
I also learned that while listening on these voice prompts that these guys like to multitask. And I noticed this when I was listening to a guy talk about his epic date fail. And I was like, I think he's peeing while recording this.
So my biggest date fail was actually a hike that I planned. Should have checked the weather. I totally forgot. And anyways, we got halfway up the hill or the hike, and then it started raining. So we figured we saw enough, we would just turn back. But before we knew it, the trail we were on turned into a river. Rocks started to fall. She fell a few times. I fell a few times. It was bad. Top 10 worst dates ever.
There was a dude in Chattanooga that thought it was a good idea to record this while he was peeing.
Yeah, that is a slow trickle. I feel like that's a fish tank.
It sounds like a fish tank to me, too.
It was pretty slow.
Yeah,
that was like, or one of those indoor, like, watering, self-watering planters. I would be concerned. That sounded like molasses.
Hey, not everybody sounds like a fire hose.
drip. Prostate check, man.
That's what I was about to say. You need to DM them and be like, you might want to get your prostate check, my dude. So not only are
that's a big old pickup line, probably, on me. Hey, can I check your prostate? It sounds like you're being too slow.
Yeah, so girls in Chattanooga, if you see that guy, that's your, we just laid that out for you. That's how you can talk to this guy. But not only are they passionate about food, but they're also very competitive.
Okay, so when I was in middle school, I was on a dodgeball team at the beach, and my buddy's dad named the dodgeball team, and we were the salad tossers. So I was running around telling the other teams that I was going to toss their salad the whole time. So fast forward to high school, I'm in a computer class, and we have to have groups. We make this big-ass sign, and it says salad tossers, and it's got smiley faces all over. I think it's hilarious. Well, comes to find out that I get in a bunch of trouble because of what salad tossing really means, and I had to tell the entire class.
He had no idea.
I think he did know, but then he had to tell everybody, and he said he was like, what, in eighth grade? What it meant after he told everybody that he was going to toss their salad.
It wasn't Little League. It was eighth grade?
It was eighth grade.
Okay, that makes it different.
Yes, it does.
I actually find that story endearing.
He was in the eighth grade.
I still find it endearing. You know, that guy was actually kind of cute, too. I thought about swiping right. And I also love how theatrical they are. So this guy decided he wanted to play out one of his favorite scenes from one of his favorite movies.
No. Ron, no. What is it? He's going to sacrifice himself. No, you can't. There must be another way. Harry, it's you who have to go on. I know it. Not me. Not Hermione. You.
That's pretty damn good, eh? That's pretty funny.
That is, if you don't know what that is, that's the scene in Harry Potter where they reach the giant life-size chessboard, and the acting in it is just such a joke. It's a meme. Like, he did it spot on.
That's so good.
You would get a date out of me for that.
You have to be a Harry Potter fan
to get it, 100%. Okay. But it also got kind of popular on TikTok. People were like, repeating it, making fun of it. Now, the last thing I want to share is the musical talents of these men of Chatty Chattanooga, because you might walk into your Target and see the latest CD. Now, that's what I call desperate. Where you'll hear the latest EDM tracks.
Everybody lose your mind.
We even have something for the country fans.
I need a blue sky over here so I can clear my mind.
That's why he's in Chattanooga and not Nashville.
Pretty bad.
And if you love Jason Mraz, we have something for you, too.
Oh, you done me. You better felt it. I tried to reach you. You're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks.
Yeah, you did.
Though I'm trying to get get back.
No, don't punch him. And don't worry, if you want to repent for your sins, we can take you to church as well.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
It's pretty good, actually.
No, no, it's not.
I felt like you took a part of my soul.
I want it back. I would like it back now.
Now that's what I call desperate. In stores now.
So you're telling Chattanooga to do better.
Just a little bit better, please.
Do better, boys. The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I did it. I went to Helping Mamas, and I donated a good portion of Jimmy's baby stuff.
Aww.
Okay. All right.
All right. So Helping Mamas is a local nonprofit. They're a diaper bank supply, and they collect so much more than just diapers. They also collect period products. But if you go to their website, helpingmamas.org, they have a list of things that they accept. Jimmy is two now, and it was a rough go being able to conceive him, two rounds of IVF. Bart and I know that that's not something that we're going to do again. And, you know, there's still an option of adoption, but that would be a child that's not an infant, probably a child that's older if that is the case. So I'm looking at the bassinet and I'm looking at like the little bouncy chair and all that stuff that is taking up so much room in the house because these are not small items. And the time had come that it needed to get donated. So Bart loaded everything up in the car. It was filled to the brim. And I drove to Helping Mamas in Norcross. And I did not even turn the car off. The sweet woman working at the front desk, she didn't know my relationship with Helping Mamas and that we, you know, I had done stuff with them before. And so she thinks I am just like everybody, every other mom, you know, dropping stuff off. And so we load up this giant bin and there's like all the boppy pillows in it. And while they can't take used car seats, they know somebody who can. FDA regulations, like you can't donate your breast pump because of
you might have
sanitation.
You might have dirty boobs.
Yeah, maybe. So I'm trying to figure out where, I think we're just going to have to recycle it at a small appliance recycle place. But so, you know, but they are able to give the car seat away and like the infant stroller and all that stuff. So I'm just looking at this mound of stuff. And I go, I told her, I go, I'm really trying to keep my S together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I use the actual word. She goes, oh, no, it's okay. Most people cry.
Yeah. Because it's not just clothes. Those are all memories you've seen them grow up in.
Yeah. I mean, it's the car seat. I brought them home from the hospital in. And, you know, it's that little, like, that little vibrating bouncy chair that he used to sit in the living room. And the boppy that he used to lay on as I breastfed him. Like, everything holds, like, really special memories of him as an infant and as a baby. But and Cassie has done this too. She dropped all of her stuff off at Helping Mamas as well.
When you're packing the items, could you almost hear them say, no, not me. We had such a good time together.
I did not pack them.
Okay, Bart did.
Bart's the one that put them in the car.
Could you hear them in the car on the way? No, Kristen, you're our only, you're our last hope.
No, I did. I looked in the rear view a couple of times at everything that was lying back there and I'm like, nope, you gotta focus. So I put on a murder podcast.
That helped you focus. Okay.
I did. And I cruised down 285 to get to Norcross. And then, like I said, I backed into my parking spot. I left the car running. We got everything out. I took a quick pic. I said, thank you. I got right back in the car, turned my murder podcast back on.
It's so weird the differences because I was like, can you guys please take this? Take it. I was so ready to get it out of my house because it was taking up space. But I'm attached to the clothes and there are still a few like newborn 3-month-old outfits that I'm hanging on to, even though I know somebody else could get use out of them because I don't know. It's like the memory and I'm like, I'm just not ready to let it go, even though I'm not going to use them again. But the rest of it, I'm like, I'm like, can you use this? It's a little damaged. Can you use it? Because if not, it's going in the trash. Get it out of my house.
No, I mean, I'm handing her the little like bathtub thing that I used to wash Jimmy in. And I'm like, here.
Do they have the one location for drop-off, or do they have a couple around Atlanta?
Well, I mean, there are, you can go to their website, and there's certain places that you can drop off items, businesses that, like, function as second locations, but Helping Mamas has their one office in Norcross where you can drop stuff off. I just advise you go to the website to see what they will and will not take, because again, like they can't take breast pumps and stuff like that. But here's to hoping little ones out there can get some good use out of it.
Helping mamas.
Helpingmamas.org.
The Bird Show.